everyone, it's time again for Heart to Heart. I always love it when God speaks from the heart. He always speaks from the heart whenever he speaks. And he has so much to say because he loves mankind. And the more I relate to him, talking to him, hearing him out, the more I see that what he says, he means. And he never deviates from his love. He never deviates from holiness, which is supreme purity. He never, ever deviates from what is holy, which is supreme purity. And everything he do is by his wisdom. All of his counsel makes sense. It's so rich, it's easy to be entreated. And the word of God is sown in peace. You have to receive it. You have to be receptive. That was the problem of those who had a hard heart. They wouldn't receive strength from God's word. They were dishonest in their assessment. They hardened their heart and repel the goodness of God from entering in their heart. And they make light of God's invitations. You know, Jesus spoke a parable. We're going to cover it in the next few broadcasts as God leads. But he made a wedding feast and invited all of his friends and everybody that loved him, everybody he knew, he invited them. And then they made excuses why they wasn't coming. One of them just got married. One of them had to tend to his ox, his cattle. They had to work their fields. They all had excuses. And then the Lord said, go out in the highways and hedges, the byways and alleys, find people that want to come. Anybody that will come, let them come. And they went out and they found people that would come. See, this parable represented the Gentiles and the friends of God, the servants of God, those that, you know, the Jews are his servants. He loves them. He invited them to heaven. But in their proud arrogance, they made light of the invitation. Now, preachers preach their heart out every Sunday, every Wednesday, or whenever they have church. They preach and they sweat bullets, preaching, telling the truth, encourage, doing all they can and all they can think of to encourage people to be saved. Evangelists come to town and do the same thing. But there are those who make light of God's invitation. They harden their heart in their arrogance and pride. They don't know the danger they're in because the enemy has given them forms of deception for everything that represents God. He gives them slander against the people of God. He calls us hypocrites. And if you look at anybody's life long enough, you'll see some things that don't measure up. Big deal. So we, in order to win souls, we have to live according to the word of God in the sight of all men. Because there are people out there looking for excuses. And we need to make sure we don't give them any. But being a band that, you know, and we learn as we go. We don't know everything about God from the moment we get saved. So people who are looking with a suspicious eye, they're going to see something. But they know for a fact that you're endeavoring to do right. And they make big what you do wrong or what you haven't mastered yet. But that don't change your love for God. And you don't have to prove anything to anyone. As we go forward, we go forward. We learn. If a person knew me in the early 80s, they would have saw an endeavoring man. I got saved in 1983, and I did all I could do to learn who God was. I had to study my lesson I went to trade school. I did my college assignments. and I would meditate on God's word as I worked at a grocery store. And I ended up getting saved at that grocery store. And after I got saved, I endeavored to learn who God is. And all the things that Jesus taught, I read it. Some of it I agree with doing, but I believed what Jesus said. I knew he said whatever he said for a reason. So I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you on this. I'm going to do what you said do. And if I wasn't doing what he said do, I wasn't happy with myself. Now, people can see you endeavoring to do right. And a lot of people respected me for it. Some people tried to find fault. Some people tested me to see if I was sincere. People respond differently to what you're doing. I was young at the time, and some girls said, you know, they had in their mind, you know, they wanted to marry somebody that had character like that. And some of them thought it was stupid. So people respond differently to the things of God. Men and women, boys and girls, they all respond like they will respond. There's four types of heart, and there's four types of ways that they normally respond. I've seen people get saved and they get so happy with God, and then, but when they're tried, when the enemy tests them and aggravate them, they give up. They just throw it all away and go back to the world. And then some people never outlive, they never stop worrying. They let the cares of this world and the lust of other things, they live in an aggravated state. I've seen people go to church trying to stay saved. All you have to do is learn to master the wiles of the devil. Put your foot on his neck. Receive the strength of God's word and speak God's word and do God's word, and it will work and it will heal everything in your life. It will happen step by step, precept upon precept. It will work. We grow from glory to glory, and it really don't take long to grow. In 3.5 years, Paul was trained and developed into Apostle Paul. In 3.5 years, the fisherman Peter was trained to be a chief apostle of the church. In 3.5 years, James and John were trained to be chief apostles of the church. In 3.5 years, all the other 12 were trained to be apostles of Jesus Christ. It doesn't take long to grow in the Lord. What takes a long time is states of rebellion, areas of life where you hold back from following God, from living according to his word. The areas of life where you resist and not go forward. These are the things that take so much time out of your life and out of your schedule. But God loves you, and his love is certain. His love is true. And he will always be there for you to help you grow in him. God loves us. His love won't change. And he continues to care for us, help us. Not only are we're not just endeavoring to serve him to stay out of trouble, we're training to live. And the Lord enjoys our company. And we, as we draw near to him, he draws near to us. And we learn to grow, and we appreciate his company. It's a blessing to be able to pray and receive answers and heal in every aspect of life. I love the healing power of Jesus Christ that operates mightily in my life. I love when he teaches me and shows me things to come. That to me is priceless. Everything about God is wonderful, fantastic even. And I thank God for all that he does in our lives. I really appreciate all that he do. Everything he teaches is a blessing to me. I get a chance to be the man I always wanted to be. You know, there were years before I got saved. I desired to do right. I desired to be saved. But I didn't know if I would do right. I didn't think I could measure up. And I really couldn't. Nobody can. But that's the beauty of it. Jesus measured up for us. He saved us. He gave us power to become sons and daughters of God. And I love it. I appreciate it. I wouldn't never go back to being the way I was before I met him. Because God is love. And I want his love to always operate strongly in my life. Everything he do and everything he teaches me to do is a blessing. And I desire to go forward, not backwards. And in order to do that, I wanted to learn how this life works. How do I do it? How do I go forward? And as I go forward and prosper in him, I learn things along the way that I couldn't learn on my own. Most of the things that I minister, I learn from the Holy Spirit. And then a lot of what I minister is what I learned from others who were guided by the Holy Spirit. And I thank God for all that he's doing, for everyone that is a blessing. I learned to value people because I've heard things to help me win because I listen. When I heard God's voice, I received it. Didn't matter who it came from. Doesn't matter whose mouth it came from. Didn't matter whose heart it came from. When I heard my father's voice, the antennas of my ears went up. I listened to the voice of my father. Now, that's not true with all believers, because some people, if you don't look a certain way, or if you're not a certain age, or if you're not a man, or if you're not a woman, or if you didn't come from where they came from, or if you didn't go to their school, they tune you out. And that's sad. And then you see the needs that they have and the wisdom of God that they could receive. But, you know, for example, there are preachers who teach that women are not called to preach. But I listen to women who preach and I'm blessed. You know, who can deny Joyce Myers? Who can deny, I forgot her name, but Marilyn Hickey. She used to come on back in the 90s and the early 2000s. And she said a lot of valuable things. And she told about a time they went to it was the Middle East somewhere. It was Palestine, I believe. I think it was Palestine that she went to. And the Muslims took down their signs and said the meetings were over. And the radicals said that it was canceled. They broadcast on the radio that it was canceled. But she went on in faith with the meeting. And 3,000 people showed up and got blessed. And after the meeting, she said, everybody, they lied and said that it was canceled. Why did y'all come? And they said, the Holy Spirit guided us to come. The Holy Spirit told us not to come on anyway. And they went and they were blessed. See, the devil's lies don't work when you're receptive to the voice of God. You have to be receptive in order to stop being deceived. And deceptive. You have to be receptive so you won't be deceptive and deceived. Yeah. When we receive God's word, that's where we receive the strength we need to govern our lives appropriately and do the mighty works of God. There's no magic in it. It's not that God favors you over others. The heaven responds to you. If you draw near, God will draw near to you. If you speak the words of life, the angels will start helping you. If you speak according to the word of God, then you're speaking by faith. When you speak by your faith, you're setting things in motion. Your faith is a definer. You define things that are not in the things that you need. If you are sick and in pain, you can claim immunity to the poisons of this world. You can speak healing over your body, and it will transform and it will change. Your body will obey you. The other day I gave the analogy of the man that was a wino, and he didn't want to drink and chained himself to the bed frame. You know, he knew he couldn't leave the house with that bed frame chained to his hand. And that'll help him not drink. But a better way to do it is speak the word of God. I mean, the bed frame, that'll help him keep him from getting a drink that day, but eventually he's going to be set free from that bed frame. And he's going to have to face life. A better way to do it is speak God's word and speak to your body and say in your faith, I hate all of the effects of wine. My body rejects wine. I hate being drunk. When you speak things, when you speak the word of God, you know, the word of God said that you have dominion over the earth, not the earth have dominion over you. And wine is made from fruits and vegetables, and grapes and corn, things like that, whiskey. They're made from things that's been fermented. Then you get your dominion back. And you don't have to be dominated by plants and fermented juice from plants and fruits. You dominate them. And your craving can change. You can speak to your cravings and they will change. But people don't teach that because of a lack of knowledge. You can say what you love and you can say what you hate. You can alter your desires into what you need them to be. When I wanted to walk in love with people, I would confess it. I read about love. I read about how they lowered the man through the roof to get him healed. I read about how people acted on their love to help others, so that the insight of God's word will be real to me on the inside. I read about the Proverbs where it says a soft answer turns away wrath. I read about how to be pure, how to love people from the heart. 1 Peter talks about unfeigned love of the brothers, which means pure love. Not fake love. Not an act. You know, serving God is not play acting. It's not lying. It's not deceitful. There's no deceit in the love of God. And that's what I wanted to make certain of. I wanted to make sure that my love was rugged. And I would do what's right no matter what. Because I knew that people would be a challenge. I knew that the enemy would challenge me. I knew that people were hard to deal with. I knew that people were taught wrong. But I learned to forgive. And I saw the value of forgiving. I learned the value of forgiving others and loving them beyond how they respond to me. And it was beautiful. And because of that, it touched God's heart. He taught me more after I started doing that than any other time in my life. I can learn anything from the Lord because I love His people. And if I love His people, I love Him. And that's how He knows whether we love Him or not, the way we respond to people, the way we operate with people that are adversaries, that are negative, the way we deal with them, the way we treat people when we're inconvenienced. He can tell how much we love Him by the way we treat each other. Simple as that. I can too. I know if you go out of your way to help people when you know they're aggravating, I know you love God. Even people who are atheists, don't believe in God, But they love mankind. They indirectly love God too. Who told them, what benefit are they, why are they going to school to be a doctor or a lawyer, and why are they trying to help people? They got love in them. But they bought into a lie that the devil told, saying God don't exist because of foolish scientists. So when I see people that operate in love and try to help people, I know that that there's light in them, that not the life of God, but there's something salvageable about them. And if they hear the word of God at the right time, they'll probably come out of their darkness. And it, you know, is it worth it to go the extra mile to help somebody see God? Well, let's think about it. The blood of Jesus, he shed it for every soul. Every soul. He left nobody out. He didn't do it for those who he liked and not for those he didn't. He did it for everybody. And drawing his last breath, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And he gave up the ghost. He laid his life down. 3 days later, he picked it back up. He resurrected. He honored God. And he saved mankind from the wrath of God back then. Because if he didn't pray for them, something bad would have happened. God was very angry when they killed the son. You know, Jesus prayed for him. He acted as the high priest. Now he's on the cross praying for them, because he know how God is. He loves his son. Everything that Jesus desired for us, he asked the Lord to do it for us. Everything he desired, he had to pray and ask God. He prayed for the church. He prayed that God would save his people from the wiles of the devil, give them the advantage in the world. In St. John chapter 17. Everything about God, he does it right. The Lord, Jesus blessed us legally. Everything that he did for our favor, and he did it legally, and he did it righteously. And that's the way I know God too, because everything he say to me, it makes sense. It makes so much sense. I want to make sure that I reverence him in all things, in my everyday actions, in the way I believe and think. I want it to be like him. I want it to be according to his love, his wisdom, his holiness. Because God is good and he's worthy. To me, it's a great honor and a privilege to speak God's word. You know, in some of the teachings that the Lord has given me, I noticed that I'm teaching dynamics and management skills of the word of God. Being receptive is very important. That's the first step to receiving faith. Faith must be received in the heart in order for you to believe it, speak it, act on it, and have the results of the life of God in your life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing God's word. That's a true scripture, a true statement made by the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, it reads, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed in faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. See, the Lord, he spoke his word to Israel. All of Israel heard what Jesus did. The gospel was spread throughout all of Jerusalem. But so many people rejected it and called it heresy. But he's writing to the Hebrews, which are Christian Israelites. They were Jewish, the nation of Israel that got saved and believed. They are the Hebrews that this writer is writing. And most people believe it's Apostle Paul because of the style of the writing. Now, Paul was originally sent to the Gentiles. It could have been another apostle beside Paul. Could have been Barnabas. But Paul was sent to the Gentiles. Peter was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It could be Peter who wrote Hebrews. But nevertheless, it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, whoever wrote it. Now, this chapter 4 illustrates how we must receive God's word in order to have faith in it. It said, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, if any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. When they heard it like a person that has a wayward heart, you know, ground that's seed that fell on the wayside. That's hard ground. They didn't mix faith with the word, and the fowls of the air came and ate it up. When people resist the word of God, reject it, won't receive it, the devils come and take it from them. And it becomes as if they never heard it in the first place to understand it. And every time and the enemy gives you a lying process to think with. He has a lie for every truth that's told you. But his lies don't measure up. His lies can't help you. And as long as you don't know the reward that you're losing, his work is very easy. But there are people who hear the word of God. They have a soft, receptive heart to the word, and it makes their heart strong and rugged. They're able to love and do the things of God. They learn to live a life of honor. They learn to enjoy the peace of God. There is no peace to the wicked, and there is no rest to the wicked. And those who won't decide what to do, the devil will drive them to darkness. In other words, you can't be neutral about things of God. You have to be proactive. In every area of life wherein you're proactive, you will have great success. There's nothing in the word of God that gives you lack. Doctrines of devils strip the word of its power, and people read into it how they're taught. If you're taught wrong, you read it wrong. You expect it wrong. You don't expect the life of God's word to be powerful in your life. Some people find out that they can prosper greatly. They believe that they can receive from the Lord. And they have vision for it. And so in order for faith to work right, you have to have hope. You have to have a visual of what you desire. My pastor said, first you have to see yourself with it. If you can't see yourself with it, you ain't getting it. The only way to believe God, take him at his word, you got to see yourself with it. And if you have a problem doing that, keep reading the word until it forms a vision in you and speak it, and it will happen. I have done it so many times. But it's easier for me to believe if I owe somebody else than if it's for myself. That's just the way my life, but I'm altering that. Because In areas of life where you're not as successful as you want to be, the Lord is waiting on you to ask him some questions so he can answer you and show you the secrets that you don't, that things that's secret to you. But you have to receive the word of God. All right, verse 7 in Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to finish this part. It says, verse 7, again, he limits a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And that, my friend, is the secret. Whenever the Lord is speaking, just be receptive. Soak it in like a sponge. Take it on in and think about it. When in your spare time and when you have time to think and just worship God, just process the word. Let it bless you. And then speak it. And you'll see what the old preacher's been talking about. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he has entered into his rest also. He also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And that kind of unbelief that's restrictive, that separates you from God, that separates you from his peace and his rest, is not necessary. You don't need any form of unbelief in your life. Drive it out like Israel should have driven out the Philistines, like Joshua drove out some of the Philistines out of Canaan land. He drove them out. And you got to do the same